This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. In the run-up to the August primary and then to the general election in November, voters will hear from candidates for state and federal office. They'll also hear from various interest groups hoping to influence those elections. But Michigan voters are also being asked to consider a group that doesn't have a lobbyist or a political action committee. The Michigan Sandbox Party hopes to draw attention to the issues affecting children in the state. The Sandbox Party, a project of the advocacy organization Michigan's Children, plans to highlight issues of importance to young people this election season. Matt Gillard is the CEO of Michigan's Children. Matt Gillard, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Tell us a little bit more about the Sandbox Party, maybe its history and its organization, what it's made up of.
Well, the Sandbox Party started as a grassroots network of early childhood advocates and supporters around 4 years ago, and we really have mobilized a large number of people throughout Michigan that cared about early childhood and investment in quality early childhood programs and opportunities. We've kind of expanded the focus beyond just early childhood and really are focusing on children's issues from cradle to career. And at this point, are really focused on this election, this upcoming election we have here in Michigan. This is a very important election. We have our entire state legislature up this August and November, as well as the governor, the attorney general, and secretary of state's offices. We also have our entire congressional delegation up in an open U.S. Senate seat. A number of very interesting congressional primaries as well, with some retirements and other things that you don't see often happen. So, in all, this is going to be a very exciting but also very important time for the future of Michigan with this election season.
So, going forward, do you plan to endorse candidates for office in this election season?
No, that's not the way our organization has been founded or set up. Really, what we're trying to do at this point, even before the primary, is just highlight the importance of voting in the primary and then really just providing a resource for people to easily learn about the candidates that are running for office in their area. We will not be endorsing candidates, but we really want to give people an opportunity to get engaged in this election process, to learn about the people that are running to represent them in our democracy, and to make informed decisions as they head to the polls, hopefully in August and then in November.
Are there certain issues that you will be providing information about or perhaps even advocating one way or another on?
Well, not through the election process. Now, Michigan's Children is an advocacy organization that advocates for children and families issues in our legislature and through Washington as well. But really, our election opportunities are really just about giving people the resource to learn more about the candidates and to make the decisions themselves. I think it's pretty easy to get engaged in the process if people have the opportunity to learn about the candidates. And that's really what we're trying to do through the Michigan Sandbox Party right now, is to provide an easy resource for people to go online, to quickly log in to MichiganSandboxParty.org, and to find out who's running for office in their area and what these candidates are saying about issues around children and families.
Your website has highlighted a handful of races for Congress, including the 3rd District, which includes Battle Creek and Grand Rapids, and also the state legislature. And among the districts you're looking at there are the 60th, which includes the city of Kalamazoo, and the 80th, which includes most of Allegan County. And these are really looking at the primaries right now. Why did you pick these races in particular?
Well, we highlighted a few congressional races, a few state Senate races, and a few state House races that I think are good examples of the importance of voting in the August primary. All of these races that we highlighted are likely to be determined in the August 5th primary, either by the Democratic side or the Republican side, depending upon how they were drawn. So, for example, the 3rd Congressional District is, fairly, from a baseline standpoint, is a fairly Republican district. So it's very likely that whoever wins that Republican primary August 5th is going to be the representative in Washington for that area for the next 2 years. Similarly, the 60th House seat on the other side is a fairly Democratic-based district. And so whoever wins that Democratic primary is very likely to win the general election in November. And what we want people to understand is that because of the way these districts are drawn, it is very important to vote in these August 5th primaries. We see historically, we've seen very low turnout in August primary elections here in Michigan. And really, that's not unique to Michigan. Around the country, you see very low turnout in these primary elections. But increasingly, the way these districts are drawn, in such a partisan manner. It's those elections that determine who are going to be our representatives in Lansing and in Washington in the coming years. And so really, our primary goal is to get more people who care about children and care about children's issues to participate in these August primaries. We firmly believe that if more people who care about kids vote in August, we'll be better off as far as having our issues considered in the years to come.
If we were only thinking about children and children's issues when we decided to vote, what would be the issues that we would focus on? What are the things that stand out which really affect children and families from the whole range of issues that people may decide which candidate to support?
Well, I think that's up for people themselves to decide individually. But I think, you know, in general, obviously education and issues around our education system get a lot of attention. But I don't know that there's a lot of concrete ideas or opinions shared by candidates all the time. Some do, some don't. Some have backgrounds in education issues that provide them maybe more perspective. But certainly education funding, but education policy issues as well. I mean, we're seeing a kind of emerging debate here around charter schools and the accountability of charter schools here in Michigan based on some of the media reports that came out of the Free Press. That's one example. Early childhood is something I mentioned earlier that the Sandbox Party was kind of founded on. You know, we've seen some real, I think, success from the early childhood perspective here in Michigan recently with some large increase in state funding for our quality preschool program to provide preschool opportunities to at-risk four-year-olds. But there's still a lot of work to be done. We know from the brain science and other research that, you know, strong birth to age three programs are needed for a lot of children, especially those that are maybe at most at risk of not being successful in school later in life. So we need to do more around those issues. And I think there's a number of children's health issues that often get overlooked. You know, we kind of have a national debate going on right now or continuing to some extent over the Affordable Care Act and that implementation. But lost in that debate a lot of times is how those policy decisions are impacting children's health issues, both here in Michigan and across the country. Then there are a number of other issues. We have, you know, juvenile justice and the foster care system. Receive some attention at times from different candidates or different entities around the state, but I don't think nearly enough. And I think these are issues that people need. That the unique thing about a children's advocacy organization is you have a lot of people get engaged or get involved that have a particular focus area that may draw them into the process or into the system, and that's great. So we really just want to provide resources so that folks, no matter what issues around kids they care about, they can learn easily about the issue and then learn about what the candidates are saying about the issue and give them an opportunity to talk directly to the candidate. So one of the things you'll see on the website as well is a calendar function where you'll be able to put in the area where you live, either by zip code or by county, and find out what events are happening in your area that'll give you an opportunity to hear from the candidates themselves or even question the candidates themselves, whether it be candidate forums or other public appearances by either local candidates or statewide candidates.
You mentioned that some of these issues tend to get overlooked. Is that because there is not a natural sort of a big money push behind them? There's no great lobbying effort that's going to lead to greater profits or those sort of things down the line for someone?
I think to some extent, yes, that's true. And I think particularly that's true in the election process. I think because we have seen such low turnout. So, for example, and you mentioned the 80th House District race. In that race, those candidates are vying for the Republican nomination, so to win this Republican primary on August 5th. What they're gearing towards, they're really focusing their message and their efforts to those folks that they know are going to vote in that August 5th Republican primary. And that's maybe 12 to 14%, maybe six at the high end, 16% of all registered voters in that district. And so they're gearing their message towards those that are on the further, you know, further to the right of the political spectrum that are most likely to vote in that August primary. And so the issues that those people care about is what they're talking about. And so we really believe that if we want to change this dynamic and get candidates elected and get candidates to care about or to focus on issues related to kids and families, we've got to get people who care about kids and families issues to participate in those August primaries.
Is it also the case that maybe sometimes other issues are a little more attention-grabbing? I'm thinking of things like discrimination, same-sex marriage, those sort of things, important issues as well, and perhaps those grab people's attention in a way that something like the technical matters of how we best educate children doesn't necessarily get voters' attention in the same manner.
I think so, to some extent, and I think that's part of the political process and our election process as well. I mean, those are the attention headlines. Those are the headlines, and those are the real divisive issues, and those are the social issues that particularly, again, and maybe in Republican primaries, more so than the Democratic primaries, you see, as real hot-button issues that candidates feel they know that that small slice of the electorate that's going to participate in the and the Republican primary cares deeply and strongly about those socially divisive issues. And so they have to really, ramp up their rhetoric and their discussion on those issues. And a lot of the more substantive issues, or what I think most people would feel are more substantive issues, are not discussed or debated as much in the political process. But I think, the way to change that is through a grassroots movement of people who care about the other issues, wanting to hear candidates themselves talk about them in order to be, successful in the elections.
So I noted you're highlighting some state legislative races, but also some races for Congress. I'm wondering if you find that there's some separation of issues between federal and state, that some things, are more important at the federal level and other things at the state level are perhaps a little more in focus.
Oh, certainly. I think this immigration debate is an obvious example of that. That's clearly a federal issue. Now, I'm certain that you'll see state legislative candidates talking about, immigration either on either side of the issue in some of their political dialogue leading up to the election. But the reality is that's a federal issue that, Congress is going to have to deal with one way or the other here in the coming years. Even within children's issues specifically, like education, I think there's a role clearly that the federal government plays in education, but then obviously there's a greater role, I think, from a state-level standpoint as far as prioritizing education and educational opportunities for children in different areas. The healthcare side of things as well, I think, is similar to education, where you have a federal role now, especially maybe an increased federal role with the Affordable Care Act, but also state policies and priorities as well that can impact education or health issues for children and for families.
So we've been talking a lot about the primaries. Do you then broaden these efforts out when you get to the general election, perhaps focus on more races, or do you perhaps find some races where you believe they'll be more competitive and perhaps people will have a better chance to influence that election and perhaps do it by raising these particular issues?
Yes, absolutely. No, that's the idea, is that after the primary, we will shift focus to some other races that we think are more competitive in the general election, and also maybe more focus on some of the statewide races where we don't see the primaries right now, such as the governor's race and the United States Senate race and others where, we have statewide candidates. And so we'll really be giving opportunities to learn more about candidates either at the statewide level or in local races that are going to be competitive in the general election.
Matt, have you gotten some feedback on this? Do people appreciate that you're making this effort, and do they think that it's something that is going to enable them to cast a more informed vote?
Absolutely, yes. The feedback has been extremely positive. People find the website useful. I think are learning to use it as a resource. And really, we've even had candidates reach out after hearing me on radio stations or seeing some of our materials through the media. Candidates reach out wanting to make sure that any events that they're having or that they're attending are included on the website and wanting to be helpful as much as possible to get their information out to voters as well. So, no, we really, I think the reaction has been positive. I think it remains to be seen how effective we are, but I'm committed and we're all committed to the idea that if we can get more people who care about children and family issues to participate here in the August primary, we'll be better off. And similarly in November, I shouldn't, just relegate this to August right now. That's our focus now until August 5th. But even in our November elections, in these off presidential years, we don't see as high a turnout as I think we would like or as I think our democracy deserves. The opportunity for people to participate is at the ballot box. And we often say kids can't vote. So people who care about them need to.
Are you sending questionnaires to candidates, getting their views on a range of issues?
We have not done that. We may do that. It's something we're considering doing between the August and November elections to those who are successful through the primaries. I'll be honest, I've been involved with that through different endeavors in previous elections with maybe some mixed results. I think it's more important than a standard questionnaire that that candidates may or may not fill out or may have somebody else fill out for them. I think it's more important or a better opportunity for us to get people access, easy access to the candidates themselves and to the candidates' materials that they have already put together. You know, all of these candidates have websites, have materials that they've produced themselves, and I think that's leads to a better informed electorate or opportunity for people, voters, to learn more about the candidates.
And if people have more interest in the idea of the Sandbox Party and what you're trying to do, what's the best place for them to go, or on the internet, or who's a good person for them to contact?
Yeah, Michigan. The easiest way to go is MichiganSandboxParty.org. There you can navigate easily through the site, find out what's happening in races in your area. You can sign up to become a member. It's free. There's no commitment at all of the Michigan Sandbox Party itself. Then you'll get weekly updates from us around what's happening in races around the state, and even more localized information as activities are happening in your specific area. And so, once again, it's MichiganSandboxParty.org, and we really want this to be a resource that people use so that people can easily get engaged in this important election we have here in Michigan.
Matt Gillard, thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Matt Gillard is the CEO of Michigan's Children. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.